Welcome to today's conversation with industry experts. From Ponderance, I'm Allison Nordenbrock, and with me today are Brett Bain from Ponderance and Robert Ramsey from Barnes Denning. Today we're going to discuss the effects of COVID-19 on cybersecurity compliance. Welcome back.
Thanks, Allison. I'm Brett Bain, the managing consultant for Ponderance's compliance practice. Our team helps clients with several security and control frameworks, such as PCI DSS, but also NIST-CSF, HIPAA, and others. And we've had the good fortune to work with Barnes Denning on several great projects in the past. I'm really looking forward to speaking with both you and Robert today.
And I'm Robert Ramsey with Barnes Denning. I lead our SOC 2 practice, and I get to work on SOC 2 projects that also cover PCI DSS. It's been fun working with Brett in the past, and I'm excited to have this conversation today.
So what are some of the challenges presented by the shift in work locations and staffing?
It's a good question. I think there's a lot of things happening right now. This is obviously an unprecedented situation. And so one thing that is a point of concern certainly is how do you maintain your controls in a time like this when so much is changing? And when, frankly, a lot of staff might have concerns that are more important necessarily than just performing their standard controls. So I think really it's important to look at the risk profile that's presented by shifting staff away from central location, if that's the way the organization currently operates, and looking at how that control environment can be maintained.
That's a good point. There's definitely, with so many more people working from home, companies are scrambling to enforce the controls that they had put in place, for example, having VPN for all employees, but rapidly making that available for 100% of the employees. Is that kind of what you're talking about, Brett?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're trying to shift your standard mode of operations. And that's organization specific, which is why I mentioned looking at the organization's risk. And if you have the opportunity to do that, considering assessing what your risk profile looks like, what the changes in your risk universe and landscape are, when you're doing things like changing location where staff normally work, potential staff and hours reductions overall. We've unfortunately seen that with some organizations as well. It certainly can lead to a lot of challenges and a lot of problems, particularly, of course, for manual type control processes where you're relying on someone to put in a number of hours or certain amount of time to complete those sorts of tasks.
Did you say that for expediency, the HHS is making some notifications regarding telehealth that are making it easier for healthcare providers to sort of continue to help people but be a little less concerned about HIPAA?
Yeah, so that's really a good point. One of the things that organizations should be doing, I think, as well, part of your risk profile certainly is your compliance risk or your risk related to adhering to the various compliance frameworks you're subject to. And we're seeing, as I'm sure you are, different regulatory bodies are responding in different ways, right? So Health and Human Services has issued a couple of bulletins so far regarding enforcement discretion, specifically around the telehealth and data sharing by business associates. Certainly you would want to read those bulletins in detail. Those are going to change and continue to evolve over time. And likely you're going to want to have your legal department review those. But ultimately, understanding what changes in enforcement or requirements that a regulatory body may be making in response to this is going to be really important. Have you seen anything sort of on the accounting and SOC 2 side come out of that?
I have. I think there's going to be a lot of sort of reasonableness applied in terms of, okay, we're in a pandemic, so people did what they felt made sense. So the AICPA, which governs SOC reporting, has said there's no real change in authoritative guidance, but to use risk assessments whenever possible. So an example of reasonableness is, say, a large call center that's used to having everyone in a facility because they want to be able to supervise people and have some controls in place over physical presence. well, in a pandemic, they're rapidly putting everyone in homes that are slightly less secure than when they were able to monitor everyone in one place. But if airlines are making cancellations and we need those call centers up and running and these people need their jobs, they are rapidly doing what makes sense to put these people, allow them to work from home, have slightly different control environment. But I think most people would agree that it's a necessary step to take in sort of an emergency situation. So the SOC reporting coming out of that a year from now, we'll have to reflect that properly, share and disclose what risks were taken and what was done by the company. And then customers will have, will be able to make their own decisions about what made sense. But hopefully there'll be no surprises, because in these cases, customers are saying, yes, please do what needs to be done to keep everybody safe and to keep everything functioning as best as possible. So that's kind of one detailed example, but that's the AICPA's position.
I think that's a good point, right, around how does your control environment need to necessarily change? And you may have to make modifications to controls, the way that you do things, and consider that new risk landscape that we talked about. And you already mentioned having VPN readily available. You've got people working from home networks that may be less securely configured than office networks would be. You've got other devices on those networks. Most people are at home, not just workers, right? But you've got families at home and other people that might be in the home as well. So thinking about things like making sure or considering whether it would be prudent to have a full tunnel VPN for all of the traffic coming in and out of your in and out of your employee's device, that may be the right call or it may not be, right? You've got to have those discussions around risk and risk tolerance, sort of to your point.
Yeah, there's a lot of change going on for now, for sure. I know that auditors that do physical visits and for SOC reporting where we check physical security, we're now using FaceTime more so we can have someone virtually visit, observe controls in place, but allow for social distancing and not have to be on site.
Yeah, I think the PCI Security and Standards Council has issued some guidance as well regarding performing PCI DSS assessments and the other assessments that sort of fall in their purview during this age of travel restrictions and stay-at-home orders, et cetera. So there's good guidance out there. I think one of the common threads that we use through these, not to put too fine a point on it, is that conversation around risk and reasonable assurance, right? Kind of ensuring that you're able to build a justifiable position around the procedures performed from the assessor side, but also make those good faith efforts to follow the spirit of the controls within the frameworks, as you mentioned. What do you sort of think about, do you think there could be any sort of opportunities in this, in the sense of, could there be some silver linings for control environments coming out of this that might in the long term benefit organizations?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of trial and error learning going on rapidly in terms of emergency response. So I read dozens of disaster recovery plans a year, and I think only one had like a bird flu pandemic chapter. So I think more and more will include emergency response now, and more teams and employees will have in mind, what do you do if plans A, B, and C don't work? What are acceptable deviations and what aren't? Just the build out of infrastructure and the number of people that are successfully working from home now is kind of a silver lining that in the future we'll have a even more robust corporate systems, in my mind. What do you think, Brett?
I would agree with that. Certainly, ultimately, right, those plans and the emphasis that comes out of those plans needs to be on safety of personnel, right? And that's first and foremost. I think this sort of situation underscores that. In a lot of cases, I've also looked at a number of disaster recovery plans, business continuity plans, and do so every year. And while that usually is a stated goal, a lot of the procedures are really focused around malware threats, network disruptions, those sorts of things. And while it's fair that those are the most common sort of disruptions and issues that organizations face, it's certainly not everything. And sort of understanding another threat model, understanding the implications of something widespread like this that affects mainly personnel is, I think, an important lesson to help prepare us for the future, as well as, to your point, the shifting sort of dynamics present you with some opportunities if you have staff that aren't quite as busy, maybe for whatever reason. Are there opportunities to cross-train people in certain controls or certain areas to sort of build out that knowledge base around your compliance processes and controls, creating more redundancy when it comes to those critical processes? I think you also can identify some potential process improvements, right? So if you have to make do with less, is there a better way to do the things that you're doing currently? Could you get pushed towards doing some of those things out of necessity, where in previous times it maybe sort of felt like a nice to have?
Absolutely. I think you're right. We're going to find a lot of those, a lot of learnings through this process for sure. Yeah. Anything else you want to cover on this discussion, Brett?
No, I think just to underscore what we talked about, ultimately, at a time like this, everyone needs to be focused on being safe, being healthy, taking care of their families. One last thing that I will leave folks with in that vein, though, is thinking about reaching out to your regulatory bodies, reaching out to your auditors and assessors, and having those conversations about what are reasonable expectations right now. How can we work together to come through this process better?
That's a good point. The increased dialogue to make sure everyone's on the same page, increased transparency, and to be in this together to help each other and recognize that there's a lot of conflicting needs right now. So to be super, super understanding whenever possible. That's great, Brett.
Yep. Well said. Thanks, Robert.
Thank you both for taking the time to chat today. If you would like to learn more about Pondurance or Barnes-Dennick, you can visit pondurance.com or barnes-dennick.com with more information in the comments below. Thank you both for taking the time today. We really appreciate it.